Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Welcome to the National Crime Prevention Council series on the Social Network Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, and my co-host on the show today is Michelle Boykins, Senior Director of Communications of the Washington, D.C. nonprofit, our National Crime Prevention Council. Welcome, Michelle.
Oh, thank you, Dr. J. I'm pleased to introduce our guest today. We have Kimberly Williams, Communications Manager for the National White Collar Crime Center, otherwise known as NW3C, and Bill Wright, Cybersecurity Partnerships Director at Symantec. Established over 30 years ago, the National White Collar Crime Center supports law enforcement agencies by providing training, investigative support, and research to agencies involved in the prevention, investigation, and prosecution of economic and high-tech crimes. Kim Williams is the Communications Director, where she is responsible for the management of NW3C's brand and corporate identity through all printed and online materials. Kim has almost 20 years of experience in the communications field, including contract positions with the Federal Reserve, Capital One, Dominion, and the Virginia Community College System. At NW3C, she regularly researches and writes on issues related to cybercrime. And Bill, working for Symantec, which was founded in 1982, Symantec provides internet security and storage to its customers to protect them from risk. And Bill brings more than 20 years of experience spanning the legal, policy, and operational spectrums of national security, law enforcement, and international partnerships. In addition to heading up the Norton Cybersecurity Institute program, Bill manages a number of global cybercrime and cybersecurity operational and policy partner relationships with both government and industry. And prior to joining Symantec, Bill was staff director and general counsel for two U.S. Senate subcommittees focused on homeland security, government IT, and oversight. Bill served as the chief advisor to Senator Scott Brown for cybersecurity, national security, and intelligence issues. Together, the National White Collar Crime Center and Symantec have recently launched the Victims of Internet Crimes Empowered in 2014. Welcome to the Social Network Show, Kim and Bill.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Kim, I just mentioned the Voice Initiative that you've launched. Can you talk a little bit more about it and tell people where to find more information on the website?
Sure, I'd love to. First of all, I'd just like to say how pleased we are with our partnership with Symantec, and we're glad to join today here with Bill to talk more about the site. And just to give you a little background, VOICE stands for Victims of Internet Crimes Empowered, as you mentioned, and it can be found at www.victimvoice.org. So, you know, we've partnered together with Symantec, the National White Collar Crime Center has, to create this site, and it's designed to be a resource both for the victims of online crimes and for the consumers who want to avoid becoming victims. So it's a really nicely designed site. It's easy to navigate. It's divided into three main sections, which you can easily see from the homepage. The viewers can either file a complaint, they can access resources providing more information about the different types of cybercrimes and how to avoid them, or they can access a guide that will direct them to the agency that can help them with a specific situation. So just to give you an example, the viewer will answer a few questions online related to a scam or fraud that they've experienced, and then the interactive website directs him or her to the resources particular to their situation. So, for instance, if the crime involved intellectual property, they might see a definition of what this is and the crimes involved, along with contact details for more information. So that just gives you a little background and a little information about what the site looks like.
That's great. That's a lot of information.
Yeah, it is.
Concept. Where did the concept come from for empowering victims of internet crimes?
Well, the idea behind the acronym, it's VOICE, which stands for Victims of Internet Crimes Empowered, and the idea behind it is that we want victims to both feel like they have a voice and actually give them a voice. So, I mean, these days you just have to turn on the news and you hear about the latest hacking attack of a major company, and these hacks happen even more frequently to individuals, even though they might not be making the major network news at night. Every day, more than 1 million people fall victim to cybercrimes, everything ranging from identity theft to being tricked into wiring money to just having malware downloaded onto their computers. And some of these victims don't know where to turn, or they may feel powerless. So this website, the VOICE website, empowers them by teaching them more about cybercrime, showing them what actions they can take, and also helping to prevent victimization in the future.
And so if someone is a victim, where do they go? How do they file a complaint? Does that come through NWCCC or?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because it's so easy. From the homepage on victimvoice.org, there's a large area titled File a Complaint. So all someone has to do is just click that area, and it will provide a link directly to ic3.gov. And that stands for the Internet Crime Complaint Center. It's its website. And it leads directly to that part of the site where a complaint may be filed. So IC3 is a partnership between the FBI and NW3C, and it's set up to receive complaints of Internet crimes. And when they click that link, an online form requesting the details of the complaint will appear. And all the user has to do is simply fill it out and submit it online.
Well, great. Well, that sounds like it makes it really easy for them.
It does.
Now, Bill, let's switch gears for a second and talk with you. So we've talked with Kim a lot about victims and how they can be empowered. But let's talk bigger. What's the real scope of the problem with cybercrime? How widespread is it? And what's the Symantec's role in fighting cybercrime?
Sure. So cybercrime, very widespread, and the scariest part is it continues to grow every day. Cybercriminals don't recognize national borders. In fact, oftentimes they target people in different countries, which could slow down investigation and certainly slow down prosecution. So it truly is global. I won't fill you in with too many stats here, but we did a study last year looking at the cost of consumer cybercrime, and that number came in at about $113 billion. That's annually. So those numbers are tough to come up with, but we've seen ranges all the way up to a trillion. So I think $113 billion is probably about as good of an estimate as you're going to get. And if you think about it, as cybercrime really is any crime that uses a computer or internet or is the target of. So there are many crimes that fall into these categories, and the full range of frauds that you can imagine, identity theft, human trafficking, child pornography, copyright infringement. I mean, the list really goes on. In fact, at some point in the future, you can really imagine how it might be tough to conceive of any crime that is not somehow involving email or social media or other websites in the commission of that crime. So as for Symantec's role, we certainly believe that the safety of the Internet is a shared responsibility. It's not just the responsibility of the government. It also includes the private sector as well as individual consumers. So we partner with law enforcement enforcement agencies around the globe. We have excellent partnerships like we have here with NW3C to fight cybercrime. We help with investigations, and of course, we protect our customers. We're the world's largest cybersecurity company in the world, so we have a pretty unique insight into what dangers lurk on the Internet, what the new trends are that are occurring both in cybercrime and security.
Are there any trends that you want to share with us today?
I'm sorry?
Are there any trends that you want to share with us today that you're seeing?
Some of the bigger trends here recently, pretty obvious, but one that we call a mega breach. I don't think there's hardly a week that has gone by in the last 18 months that we haven't seen a large retailer or government entity being breached and that data being stolen or removed. This trend's resulted in much bigger payouts for cyber criminals. So nothing really breeds success like more success. So the cyber criminals have really shifted their behavior toward these really large mega breaches. And by mega breaches, I mean anything that exposes more than, say, 10 million data records. And we had quite a few of those last year, and I think this year we're probably going to see a similar number. Ransomware attacks, I don't know if you're familiar, but that's also a growing trend. Ransomware is a type of malware that gets that's on your computer and it locks up a device or it locks up your files, renders them unusable. So then the attacker will demand a ransom payment in exchange for having the restrictions moved. Keep in mind, if you do pay this ransom, your chances of actually regaining the use of your data or your device are very, very, very low. So would not pay that ransom. Targeted attacks continue to rise. These are those emails you get that look like they're from someone you know or that you should know. And when you click on an attachment in that email, you certainly are at risk of being infected with malware. As part of targeted attacks, we're also seeing a combination of these targeted attacks with sort of traditional social engineering techniques. For instance, a cyber criminal will send a targeted email. You do exactly like you hear on this show and not open that email and certainly not open that attachment. And then a few minutes later, you'll get a phone call. A phone call will say, hey, listen, we sent you an invoice. You got to open this. You owe us money. You know, I think most people, probably myself included, are probably going to open that attachment at that point. So combining those traditional social engineering attacks with technology.
Oh, that's incredible. Well, listen, Bill.
Absolutely. And so, it's important to keep in mind that many of these attacks are just as much about psychology as they are technology. That's something we try to...
Interesting.
Well, you are listening to The Social Network Show. I'm Dr. Jane Karwoski, and in the second half of our show, I have some questions for Bill of Symantec and Kim of the National White Collar Crime Center.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails. Only navigate to trusted sites and change your passwords every 90 days. Back up important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to the Social Network Show.
Back to the Social Network Show. I'm Dr. Jane Karwoski, and with my co-host Michelle Boykins, we are speaking with Kimberly Williams of the National White Collar Crime Center and Bill Wright of Symantec, who are eminently qualified to talk about cybercrime and the helpful resources they have to combat it. So my first question is for those who might not be as familiar with your organizations. Could you tell us a little bit more about each one? Kim, the National Caller. National Caller.
The tongue twister, right?
May I have the caller on that one? National White Collar Crime Center. It sounds fascinating. I'm glad to know that somebody is paying attention to white collar crime. So what all do you do?
Yeah. Okay, sure. Well, I can tell you a little bit more about the National White Collar Crime Center. We're a nonprofit organization, and we've worked for more than three decades supporting law enforcement. We offer training, investigative support, and research to law enforcement agencies and entities involved in the prevention, investigation, and prosecution of economic and high-tech crimes. And as you know, times have changed and computers and the internet and social media have become a part of our daily lives, we've tried to stay ahead of technology and trends, and we also work to keep law enforcement up to date as well.
So how does that work out in an actual case, you might say, or what would actually come across your desk, or those that are doing the research? Are they in support of, say, a prosecutor who's trying to find out and get more evidence, or how does it work?
Well, we have different sections in the company. We have a large training section where we do curriculum development, and then we teach classes to law enforcement on a variety of different topics, such as, you know, how to handle digital evidence and a variety of subjects related to high-tech crimes and economic crimes. And then we also have a section, an investigative support section, where we would assist investigators on cases, and it could involve any number of steps to help them get the information. We have something called PerPound, which is used to track cell phone records, for instance, and that can be really helpful to investigators if they're trying to figure out where someone was in a case. And our analysts can put together the charts and really make sense of a lot of different data for court presentations. And we also do a lot of research so that we can stay ahead of topics of concern to law enforcement.
Okay. And Bill, you've told us a little bit about Symantec, but could you elaborate?
Sure. So, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, we have been around in one way or another since about 1982, which is pretty rare for a technology company.
Mm-hmm.
We are the largest security software company in the world. We're truly global. We monitor threat activity across 157 countries. We maintain the most comprehensive source of internet threat data in the world. Many of your listeners, Dr. J, probably are more familiar with our consumer security software known as Norton.
Mm-hmm.
However, we, of course, have a comprehensive security solutions for all sized enterprises. Our customers are pretty much all of nearly all of the Fortune 500 companies, and there's never been a greater need for good security out there than we have in recent times.
That's for sure. Well, what would you say are some precautions that corporations, for example, should take to protect customer information?
Yeah. Well, you know, if I were talking to a corporation, I think I'd say that there are a few crucial steps. So in addition to maintaining, you know, a comprehensive, up-to-date security infrastructure, I would tell corporations to know your data. Protection has to focus on the information, not the device, not the data center. Really protect those crown jewels of information. Understand where your most sensitive data resides and where it flows and how it flows to help identify the best policies, procedures, and technology to protect it. Secondly, I would say probably just as importantly is to educate your employees. Provide guidance on information protection, including company policies, procedures for protecting that most sensitive data on personal and corporate devices. Many of these breaches that you read about every day occur very innocently through a targeted spear phishing email. In fact, I read just yesterday the Online Trust Alliance did a study where they found that 90% of these large-scale breaches probably could have been prevented with some fairly basic security hygiene.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, I would say to implement strong security posture, strengthen your security infrastructure with a couple of things. There's a lot of good technology out there, one of which is data loss prevention, of course, your network security, endpoint security, encryption of that data so that if it is stolen, it's of no use to anyone, strong authentication, defensive measures, including what we call reputation-based antivirus or reputation-based technologies.
Well, it sounds like there really are a lot of tools out there that would be effective against many of the attacks. It's just a question of getting everybody on board, all the corporations.
I think that's right. It's not just tools. As I mentioned earlier, these attacks are just as much about psychology as technology. So I think raising awareness and what you're doing here on this podcast is one of the most important things you can do.
Well, Kim, do you have any thoughts on protecting people aside from the business environment or maybe other parts, but in addition to corporations?
Sure. There's things that people can do things people can do to help prevent becoming victimized by cybercrime?
Right, the precautions to take.
Okay. Yeah, well, I would say one key thing to remember is if an offer sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bill was saying, these scammers sometimes will work on, they try to psychologically get to people. But if you kind of use your common sense, why would anyone give you money or give you an iPad, So I think if somebody gets an offer like this, just kind of think about it and don't respond to it because if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And,
mm-hmm.
Along those same lines, like any kind of unsolicited emails, just delete them. Don't ever click links in emails that you don't know who sent them. And keep in mind that these scammers can make their emails look like they're from a particular company,
mm-hmm.
and that they can make them look legitimate. It's not that hard to do. So best practice is just delete them. Don't click anything. You could end up downloading malware onto your computer or something like that. And then one other tip I think that's good to remember for consumers, if they're making a transaction online involving a credit card number, check the URL and make sure that it has an S at the end of the HTTP. So mm-hmm. it would be HTTPS. And that is the S, you can think of it as standing for security, because that will ensure that your information is encrypted when it's being transferred over the web. And so you can send, you're sending your information securely.
I think that's Yeah, I think that's really good. I absolutely agree with everything Kim said there. I would add one more, and this is one I tell my mom all the time. passwords. Passwords are the keys to your kingdom. If you need to use password management software to create very strong, unique passwords for each site you visit, and keep your devices, including smartphones, updated with the latest security software, one thing that we find is that people treat their devices, like their iPad or their smartphone, very differently than they treat their laptop or their desktop computer. But in reality,
they're getting to be the same thing.
That's right. That's exactly right. They can hold just as much information now as many desktops could just a couple of years ago. So those precautions that you take on your computer really need to be applied to other devices as well.
Okay.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because I still know people who don't have passwords on their smartphones, and if somebody was to find that, if it got stolen, they could access all of their personal and financial information that's on there.
Okay. And so where can you just search for that online, a cell phone or mobile phone password or security software to find some sources of that? I mean, if we're sitting here without any of this, what's the next step?
Sure. The victimvoice.org, I think, walks through some very basic security software solutions that you can have. It also goes into a lot of the precautions that you can discuss today. Of course, Norton has a wide variety of these types of security software, but there are many, many other vendors out there as well.
And I've noticed something popping up on my computer about the saving passwords through Norton.
Yeah. So that's a software technology that lets you kind of keep your all your different passwords managed, and also helps you create unique identifiers for them.
And that is a security tool.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thanks to my co-host, Michelle Boykins of the National Crime Prevention Council, for bringing Kim of the National White Collar Crime Center, got it this time, and Bill of Symantec, onto the show today. You've received the inside scoop on voice and some great tips to protect yourself. You can find more information at victimvoice.org. And thank you for listening. Please mention to your social networks, online and off, that you enjoy the Social Network Show. Please add us to your playlist on iTunes or podcastone.com, and visit our webpage, thesocialnetworkshow.com, especially the blog page. Please have fun and be safe, online and off, until we meet you here again.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.